Well, it aligns perfectly. Because don't bring up the things that bring you down, right? And then you said something about keep your mind sure-footed.
I love that line.
And what else? To be the happiest you can.
Right here today.
So you can be right here today? That is perfect. Thank you.
Sure.
Wow. Right here today. And that kind of fits right in with our talk today. I think in some ways I'm going to dedicate this talk to Lavanya because a lot of it just brings me back to that innate knowing, that space within us that knows that over a period of our lives we tend to doubt, we tend to probably not believe because things kind of go haywire, it goes a little bit off for us and we lose hope and, you know, we give up. And here it is that you are asking us in song, even before you know what we're talking about, to never give up, right? I love it. So I did have a little bit of convolution as well with this topic, with this chapter, but your notes kind of grounded me some, so thank you very much. And I thought I would just focus on just a few things in the chapter. So the subtitle or the heading of it is some of the problems of life and how we should view things. It's a big one. But it came really easy when I said, what would Lavanya do?
That's cute.
That is cute.
Excuse me. And as a result, I have been reading about, you know, the absolute and the limitless and, you know, the infinite. And sometimes I struggle, maybe that's a kind of a tough word, to really feel the infinite within me. I think I have lipstick on my teeth. That's it. I struggle to feel that I am one in the oneness of it all. And there are so many things that can, you know, distract me and take me away from me feeling inclusive. That's when Lavanya introduced everybody, she went back and she said, "And Lavanya."
Yeah.
Right? Mm-hmm. And I'm like, whoa, how inclusive. And exactly what I'm thinking of, what would Lavanya do, right? Would I have talked? Sometimes I would call my name, but she had the presence of mind to go everywhere around, even though she was speaking, which adults would do, and not mention them because it's known that it's going to be accounted for. But she went back and she said, "And Lavanya." And this is what I am continuing to work towards as I find myself in that soup of the oneness. Even though it looks like everything and everyone and well, obviously it is, right? Everything, everyone, everywhere is the oneness. But it's sometimes so hard to remember. And one of the things Ernest Holmes talked about was, in order to remember that I am a part of it all, I got to forget myself. he said, forget yourself. Forget your body and find your interest in your work and things which surround you, and you will be healed, right? So he talks about the way the world is, and, you know, there were some, you know, contradictions, but at the end I realized that it weren't contradictions up front. He was just trying to pinpoint different aspects. He said the way the world is right now is because we are selfish. Okay, you understand that. We are selfish. And he said that it and for no other reason. So he talked about there is a reason why selfishness or self-centeredness produces the things that we feel that we are not having, right? He said all the trouble in the world is because of selfishness. There is never any other trouble. And he also mentioned that it is not a superficial reason, it is a very true and genuine reason. So I wanted to kind of explore this a little bit to know why it is that, you know, focusing in on me can be troublesome. And so I had to take that thought into consideration. Then I had to take me in the bigger, wider perspective of it all and seeing me there as the one and trying now to figure out where does me fit in into the bigness, into the wideness of God. And he mentioned there is but one God, but one mind, but one spirit, and but one power. So if I am a part of all there is, and I am that one power, then how do I just show up as, you know, as me, right? So it's kind of a, you know, it's a work in progress, and I'm going to try my best to see how I could kind of flesh that out a bit. So he said, when I embody myself in my thoughts selfishly, I am separating myself from that which I think would be my good. How amazing is that, right? So when I think of my good and I go into my good, then it's no longer oneness. In some ways, it is me separating me because I see what I want there, right? But then I live in a world that there is individuality, there is independence. So I'm going to continue reading. You may think this is a very subtle thing and could not be the reason for so much trouble. However, it is the foundation of most of our trouble. I am unconsciously separating myself from my good. We little understand the subtleness of thought. There is no one who is very far wrong, and all the troubles with any of us is that we are not viewing life from the standpoint of the absolute. From the standpoint of eternity, which does not contradict now, which we call time. So it's about how I do see myself in the oneness of it all, which was a little difficult to grasp. And then he went on to say, there would not be any of you. Nothing exists beyond the confines of an individual's concept. So I thought that was a little bit, you know, going against what I just heard. But he also said, there is nothing for you that you don't perceive, whether it is good or bad, heaven or hell, and that it is all there, and that is all there is to the story of the absolute. So we are absolute in our nature, just as we know God is, just as we know oneness is, just as we know limitless, timeless is. So we exist at a point just as we have pointed out many times. Anyhow, so because I was kind of getting into the absolute and not understanding where I am, I had to choose a book about something special within me, right? And I remember this book because I've had it since I became entrenched in this teaching back in 2000. And I bought this from the bookstore a long time ago. And I wanted to remember because every once in a while I would read this book to adults who feel that they're so unloved and unworthy and not feeling good about themselves. So if I may indulge you, can I read this?
Oh, absolutely.
Thank you. Could you get me some water? Thank you so much. So the name of the book is Something Special Within Me. And I'm trying to see this from the state of the absolute, and I'm going to just come finish up with my concepts of it. Thank you so much. Okay, there is something very special within you, waiting for your joy and discovery. It is the place within you where love lives. And for me, I put love, interpreted it as absolute, all right? You know it's there when you hold a soft, cuddly kitten or puppy or someone you love. And you feel a warm, velvety feeling inside that we call love. It warms you through and through, much like the sun does. When you close your eyes and think of the sun, you can imagine a light. We call that your love light. Whenever you like or love yourself, or someone, or a pet, or even a tiny flower or a rock, you feel that love light inside you. And you feel warm, happy, and joyful. The more you practice loving, the more love light you feel, and the more it grows. Then people around you feel good too, and they respond to you in a warm and loving way. Sometimes others are unkind, and then you feel hurt, angry, or even mixed up. They act that way because their love light became dim or weak, and they don't like themselves very much. Sometimes your love light gets dim because of sad things that has happened in your life. Then it's hard to remember the special person you are. When you're sad, lonely, afraid, or angry, there are ways to keep your love light shining and help it grow stronger, more sure, and more beautiful. How? It really isn't hard at all. Here are some easy things to do to help your love light grow. You can take deep breaths. You can say and imagine, in comes the good fresh air filled with the energy of life. And out goes all the sadness, loneliness, fear, and anger. When it's awfully hard to think of your own love light, it might help you if you imagine that you have an angel enfolding you with its golden white light and holding you until you feel strong again. Think of your love light often. Be aware of the warm glow inside you. Say and imagine, My love light shines inside me. I feel warm and happy. And this book was written by Beth Richer and Alice Jacobson. The name of it is Something Special Within Me. So there are just a few more parts to it, which just literally talks about how we are just miracles, how we are unique, and each person sees beauty in different ways. We hear the songs, we hear birds. It talks about, I am truly special because everyone is a miracle and everyone is unique. And I love how they put the pink to show the love light within us. And the more you know about others, the more you see of yourself in each one of them. Because what we are literally seeing is the love light. And that brought me back to, the more I could be less of me in any situation, but focus on the oneness of who we are as a people, as a family, as, you know, everybody striving to get to where they need to be, the more I would see the things that I need to attract, or the things that I need to support others with. Because if we are in the oneness, if it is all consciousness, if it is all absolute, then there truly is no me or them. It is truly all one. And sometimes I guess I need to find that that common ground. What is the common ground that will give me the things that I need for life, for living, for joy, for you know, just living? And what is the common ground that others need as well, right? And so I come to the space where he talks about not feeling that we need to struggle. So he said, it is a fact that the struggle ceases as fast as you can eliminate struggle out of consciousness. Mm-hmm. The very struggle after the thing is the thing that keeps the thing away from you. I was blown away. So if I say in mind, I want a home, but it is very hard to get. Can you not see that I am thereby creating conditions under which that thing might possibly be presented to me? So in other words, if I am clear-minded, I heard you talk about sure-footed this morning, right? If I'm sure-footed about where I am, and what I want, it is not about the struggle. The struggle is over at that point in time, because if I am thinking of, let's say his example, a home, then we should just think of a home. So I'm going to tell you a true story. All right, I have been dealing with one of our members at another church, and she is so clear about her finances. She's so clear about getting the right jobs, and her jobs are not $90,000 or $100,000 a year. Her jobs are $300,000 plus a year, right? The key about it is that she gets them and she loses them and she gets it again. But every time she gets a new job, she goes higher. I'm going for $450 this year.
Wow. Oh, wow.
So I was doing a treatment for her because there were other issues that were going on, and I did a treatment for her. And I shamelessly put in a plug for myself. And I said, you know, everybody have confidence somewhere, in some place, right? One person is not confident and confident everywhere. So I said, you know, this kind of could be a little bit of a conflict here, but how do you do it with money? You know, I know the truth for you with this, this, this. And it's so clear and easy for me to know the truth and to pray for you. But how do you do it with money? Because I'm finding that I'm struggling. I am in the sea of just struggle. And she said, name it. And I'm like, you crazy. I've named this thing so many times. She said, name it. Don't label it. Just say what you want. I literally say, this year, I'm going for $300,000. And I don't do a thing else. Yes, I would go ahead, do my resumes, and so on. So I'm like, dang, it sounds too easy. But that's exactly what I do for other people. I name it, I say you are this, you right, and it happens. And so I came up with a number, and just for the heck of it. And I called the number, and I said, okay, this year, I'm just going to go on. I went big. I went for $200,000, right? And I'm like, she said, when you say, just let it go. Put it out there, and you have nothing else to do because your work is over. And that is what I am seeing here, right? Let go the struggle. Call it, name it, and let consciousness take over. So I did, when I said 200,000, I let it go and completely forgot about it. And then it happened that I remembered that, oh my God, I'm 60 years old. And I have a 401k. And I completely forgot about it. So when I got to the 401k, it was definitely not a 200,000 401k. But I took some money out and went to my country to help with rebuilding my mother's home and so on. And when I did the conversion, it was 7 or 8 to 1 conversion. And it was easy to get 200,000.
Wow.
And I'm like, Jesus, how easy, right? So Spirit, God, the Absolute, didn't discriminate with the number, right? It didn't say US or British or European or Trinidad and Tobago Caribbean dollars. It was able to do that. So when I looked at my money, all the money that I had was kind of close to that, but it was 200,000, and I had the freedom to take some money to help out, right? How cool is that? So every time I see her, I say, I'm healed, because I am seeing it from a different space, right? So I called it, and I let it go, and without putting burdens around it. How am I going to get it done? Because now we become selfish again and we pull ourselves out of this infinity, this limitlessness, right? So Ernest Holmes says, don't struggle over anything. If you say there is nothing to struggle over, infinite intelligence, if you say there is nothing to struggle over, infinite intelligence is my intelligence. Divine love is my love. Limitless freedom is my freedom. Perfect joy is my gladness. Limitless life is my energy. So if you speak the whole thing, it will flow through you and can only flow to the degree that we open the way. So if you say, I have to make a demonstration, you must get over that idea already. So I put it to the test, but I let it go. I didn't say, okay, I'm going to put it to the test and I'm going to watch and see what happens. I truly let it go. And this reminds me that, like, you know, if we plant a seed, do we go back and keep uprooting it to see how far the growth process is, right? Or do we just trust that the seed has everything in the soil that it needs to bring it into the plant and to bring it into the tree, right? The absolute is absolutely self-sufficient for us. And we kind of find our ways around because, one, we want it our way, we want it this way, and so we become very picky and, according to him, selfish. But when we want a thing, we must announce that it is. That's it. I announce it and let it go, right? Sometimes the demonstration is not for the thing, but to satisfy ourselves that the thing is. So when we want something, don't say, okay, I'm going to see what's going to happen. Just put it out there in trust, all right? And then he says, he said, dare to speak and know that what you put out there, it is going to be. Just know that it is going to be. Know that in your thoughts, in your own thought, there is a consciousness of love that is radiant and flows out to you all the time. I'm going to read that again. Know that in your own thought, there is a consciousness of love that is radiant and flows out to you all the time. And this is when I got the idea of the something special within me. Because that something special, I don't know. I didn't put it there. I just know that it connects. And it brings a realization of ease and peace within me. Outside of my body human, my body is just the expression of the absolute. But what is inside is what connects to everything and everyone else. And this little special thing within me is what is the fullness of love, the fullness of kindness, the fullness of limitlessness, the fullness of God. It has to be, because that is what is taking my body into wherever I need to be. My body is sort of directed by it. However, we have the mind and the direction. So whatever we speak, there is this that is there to make our dreams come true. All right? So speak. You must know that since there is but one mind, and the greatest impulse of that mind is love, you are, I am, love itself. Right? Speak any word that you know will be the equivalent of what you want. So what do I want? I just have to put it out there. This little book has put it in so much perspective for me, because it says that even when I think I am down and out and sad, or when I think that I am not shining in the world, it is still there. And it gave ways of how we can get that back, right? How we can get back our light. And one of the things Ernest Holmes talked about is something he called doing the opposite of how you are feeling in order to get to where you want to be, right? So when we come back, we are going to do something called opposite action, all right? Because sometimes we find ourselves in places. We find ourselves stuck. We find ourselves not moving forward, not progressing. And sometimes we have to wonder what it is that we are speaking into mind. What is it we are speaking into God, into the oneness? All right? And so Ernest said, when you sit down to do a treatment, know that the act takes place in infinite mind. This infinite mind is the actor, and you are the announcer. Did you all get that?
Yeah.
So I need to announce what I want, put it out there in infinite mind. This is where I guess the individuality comes in for a short while, and then let it go. You are the chooser. You choose to accept what is best and what is not best. We have the right to announce, and mind has the right to bring it into our experience. How cool is that, right? Right? So, if I, in order that we may always know what is best and choose what is best, always know that divine intelligence. Wait for it.
Yeah, wait for it.
Knows everything.
Yeah.
How cool, right? Okay, so we are going to close off for today. Let me just quickly put this in, and then we're going to close off, and then we're going to do the second part of getting answers. There is nothing in me that can hinder me, and you will never make mistakes. So let me see. So if I want to know something, I say, divine intelligence does impart it to me and shows me what to do. There is nothing in me that can hinder me, and you will never make mistakes. Nothing guides you but intelligence. He went on to talk about that he raised $250,000 just by using that process, using the method. He said, the trouble with people is that they don't believe it. They cannot enter in because of their unbelief and because they limit the Holy One. So this is him in his biblical state. He said, get still, S-T-I-L-L, and think, what am I? What is my life? Think straight back to principle until you think of principle with perfect clearness. And when you have done this, the confusion would have lifted. And this reminds me of, again, your song, you know, get into that space of mind and stay sure-footed. If we stay sure-footed and know that God is, and that what we are dealing with is a principle, then the principle is what brings things into fruition. So this thing is a science, because thoughts are things definitely defined. Since this is true, opposite thoughts will neutralize definitely. It means this. If you sit down here and do your work conscientiously, you will get results. The people who do not get results are the people who do not work. So now he was talking about how could we get into a place of conscientious thinking and reversing how we are feeling so we can get into that space. All right? So thank you so much, and we have some more discussion as we move forward about what are some ways we can get into a pickle, into a mix, and how do we get out of it by practicing opposite actions? Thank you.
Thank you.